Pasuk Yudalid in the Ma'amar Chazal. Okay, I'll read the Pesukim. I'll read the Pesukim again one more time very quickly. We did yesterday two Pesukim. We learned the Pasuk Yudalid and Pasuk Tezvav. Okay. This is on Perik. Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yudal, and Pasuk Kesvav. I'll read the Pesukim again. No kafta v'matav rosh pirozav. We learn different Pirushim, but the basic gist over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the subject of the word no kafta is Hashem. And we are writing here that you Hashem, we are saying you Hashem, you have pierced v'matav with your staff, rosh, the head, pirozav, of your enemies, who are scattered about, comparable to an open walled city. When, according to Muslim Mepharshim, we are describing here Sancheiriv, the one who has exiled the Aseres HaShvatim, and he made its last battles. Last battle was to conquer Yerushalayim after he already succeeded in conquering the Aseres HaShvatim. And he already succeeded in exiling the vast majority of the last two Shvatim of Yehuda and Binyamin. The last battle was Yerushalayim, and he arrived the Erev Pesach, and he encamped with his army around Yerushalayim. And in the middle of the night, he miraculously, his soldiers, everyone just died. 800,000 people did not wake up in the morning. Vayihi b'chatzi halayla. And the words that the Pasuk uses here to describe that event, we are describing that event as Nakafta, you Hashem, you have perforated, you have pierced the matav with your staff, rosh, the head, pirazav. It's a very unusual expression, a very unusual way to describe the Kodesh Baruch Hu as decapitated, as destroyed his enemy, the head of pirazav, his enemies that are scattered about, yis'aru lahafitzeni. And now we describe a description of what they attempted to do. Yisaru comes from the word se'ara. Se'ara is a storm. Our enemies have attacked us in a violent way, similar to a violent storm. There are winds, there's rain, there is chaos. The enemy has stormed against us violently. Lahafitzeni, this was the signature technique of Sancheiriv, population relocation. That was a term that has been patented by Michal. Population relocation, this was his technique to disperse us. Alit Susam, the greatest joy that Nevuchadnezzar, that Sancheiriv would have, his joy, it would be kmo le'chol oni b'mistar. The greatest joy is when they can eat up a poor man in a desert, in a secret place where nobody is watching. It's very interesting, this idea. Never thought about this idea, is that you look at our enemies, you look at them shugayim. What gives them the greatest pleasure? If you notice Black Lives Matter, when they had a rally, a protest, and the police would kneel before them. The hana, the simcha that these people had is unreal. It's ein l'shayer. I mean, what's the great simcha? They're kneeling before you. See, that's why I personally believe that these are not called peaceful protests. A protest in which a police officer has to kneel, that's not peaceful. That's terrorism. If you want to protest, to make a statement about what matters to you and what you believe in, so fine, come together and make speeches and bring the media and make a statement and be peaceful. Don't destroy property. Get a permit. Before you protest, you know, New York City, in all states, you have to have a permit. You just can't go organize until all of your people come, shut down traffic, shut down. It's illegal. How come they get away with this? All these protests are illegal. They don't have any permits. If we would want to go daven, we'll make a protest, and we don't get a permit, we know the end of the world will come to an end for us. Double standards for these people. They just come, they show up. They don't have any legal permits to do what they do, to shut down the streets and to destroy property. And even if they don't destroy property, to force someone to kneel before you, to intimidate law enforcement to kneel, this is terror. This is not called peaceful. Therefore,
it's about taking power, which they pretty much have taken the power of the country at the moment.
And you look at their faces, the hana, the great pleasure is just unreal. Well, Sancheriv had a different pleasure. They it's interesting, each of our enemies has a different type of psychopaths out there in the world, all different types of crazy people. And the people that we're referring to over here of Sancheriv, the Pasuk mentions that their greatest joy is not to do what we've seen in our time, but rather they get a thrill of finding a poor, vulnerable man, taking him out into a dark valley, dark alleyway, where there are no cameras, it's a mistar, it's a hidden place, and the thug devours him, destroys him, eats him up. This is what gives them their greatest joy. It's very bizarre. It sounds like a psychopath. Why is that called a joy? Wouldn't it be much greater joy if you go to battle and you have a victorious success in battle, or you earn something? There is chokhmah. What kind of joy is this? What kind of sickness is this? Alitsu sam. Their ultimate joy is when kimo le'echol oni ba'mistar, when they can eat up a poor man in a hiding place. It's very, very bizarre. We're dealing with crazy people. Pasuk tezvav, dorachta vayom susecha. Then the pasuk goes, we did not yet do the pasuk. Okay, we did not yet do that pasuk. We did pasuk yud dal. That's all we did. Now look on the bottom. On the bottom of the page, over here on the page I put on the screen, it says over here, nokafta v'mata v'rosh p'pirozov. Bishah. Here we have some Amar Chazal B'shah She'amdu Avosin Al Hayam Amar Lecha Moshe. When they were on the Yam, Moshe said, "Kumu Ivru." Let us. Moshe gave them instructions. Walk through the Yam. Amru Loi Navar Ad Shenase Hayam Nikavim Nikavim. Okay, doesn't those words sound familiar from the Birchas Asher Yotzar? We're not going to go and walk through until the Yam is Nikavim Nikavim. What does that mean? Holes? I thought the Yam was supposed to split. Not al Moshe Mateu, v'hikal hayom, v'nasa nikovim nikovim. Where is this medrash, by the way? This is a very rare medrash. Avos Rabbeinu Nosson. It's not so rare. Avos Rabbeinu Nosson has now become a very popular sefer. Avos Rabbeinu Nosson is a competition. It's an alternative version of Pirkei Avos. It's something very similar. It's similar to Pirkei Avos, and it's very. Maybe we should one day spend time learning this. It's a really great, great, great sefer. It would be interesting about learning Avos Rabbeinu Nosson is not just to learn Avos Rabbeinu Nosson. The maila of learning Avos Rabbeinu Nosson is to learn it together with Pirkei Avos and to compare one to the other. And by comparing one to the other, it brings out the beauty, the yoifi of what each collection of Mishnayos and Braisos are saying, contrast one to the other. Similar to what we do at night, we learn Rashi and Unkelus. And when you learn Rashi, it's beautiful. If you learn Unkelus, okay, it's also very nice. But when you learn Rashi and Unkelus together, and you see the tension, you see the battle between these two commentators, it's a whole new parish. It's a whole new world. When you learn Pirkei Avos, wonderful. There are so many shiurim in the neighborhood where you can learn Pirkei Avos. Well, now it's Corona season, so a lot of the shiurim on Shabbos are canceled. And on Shabbos, there's no Zoom. They have not yet figured out a way to have Zoom on Shabbos, at least not yet. So there's no Zoom on Shabbos. And therefore, unfortunately, Pirkei Avos has taken a hit because Pirkei Avos is popular on Shabbos. But when it comes to but Pirkei Avos, it's not to be learned in a vacuum. Learn Pirkei Avos together with Avos the Rabbi Nosson, you get a contrast. And here we have in this mission of this Rabbi Nosson, and he says over here that when they were on the Yam, the Klal Yisrael said to Moshe, we're not going to cross until the Yam is perforated. Nikovim, Nikovim. Not al Moshe Mateu. Vika al Yam. Vinasen, Nikovim, Nikovim. Shnemar Nokaftu Vimata Vresh Perazov. Unbelievable. Here's the pasuk. The pasuk of Chavakuk. Chavakuk, we're learning here today this pasuk. This was Moshe Rabbeinu's response to Kriyas Yamsa. So right away, I get an appreciation according to the Chazal, the context of the pasuk is not San Cherif. Almost everyone here on the page understood that the pasuk Yudalid is describing the mice of Sancheriv and Chizkio. According to Chazal, we're not discussing Sancheriv, we're discussing Kriyas Yamsas. Amal HaMoshe Kumu Ivru. So then Moshe, okay, fine, I did what you want. Now it's time to cross. Amar Amrullah, they said to Moshe, Loinavar Achanasayam Biko Lifaneinu, we're not satisfied. Just because there are perforations, which I have really no idea what this means, there are perforations in the Yam. We always assume the Yam was split. We're not going to go until the Yam is a Bika, is a valley. Hika Moshe Liyamanasa Bika Lifneim Shnemar Boka Yom Vayavireim. It says that he made the Yam was Boka. And this is amazing because we ordinarily assume Bikia Sayam. By the way, we mentioned this idea many times. Nowhere in Chumash does it say the term Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriya, ripping, we loosely translate it as splitting, is not a biblical term. This is an expression that was invented by Chazal. In the Torah, it's called Bikias Hayam, the splitting of the Bikia. A Bikia is not the same word as Kriya. It doesn't say the word Kriya in Chumash. Chazal's term, Vayiboku Hamayim. Here, this medrash, this Chazal, is telling us the word Bikia relates to the word a valley. A valley is an open area. It's not, does not necessarily mean to crack, to split. And it's quoting from Yeshaya, which says this idea. It says here, Boka Yom. The Yam was Boka, Vaya Avireim, which we would ordinarily split. I'm sorry, this is the pasuk in Yitilim, which we would ordinarily translate to mean that the Yam split. But according to this Chazal, it does not mean that. It means that the Yam turned into a big open valley. V'nemar, we have another pasuk in Yeshaya, Kabehema Bibika Teret. Like an animal in a Bika Teret, this refers to the Yam. That we, at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, were like animals entering into a bika, into a valley. Have you ever heard such a thing like this before? Amar lohem Moshe, kumu ivru. Amru, loinavar achanasa lefoneinu gizorim gizorim. No, we're not satisfied. We want there to be gizorim. What is gizorim? Gizorim simply means paths. A path. We want there to be a nice, even, straight path.
Lanes.
Okay. We want the white lines and the yellow lines. Double yellow lines. Double white lines. White lines that broken white lines. V'chulu gizorim. Not al Moshe matav hikas al yam v'nas lefnem gizorim. Shenemar ligoizer yam suf ligzorim into lanes. Amar lo Moshe kumu ivru. Okay. I done for you already three miracles. I made Nikovim Nikovim. I made for you a Bika. I made for you lanes. Kumu Ivru. Amru Loinavar Achanasa Lefaneinu Choymer. We want it to be Choymer. What do we mean Choymer? We want it to be paved. We want what you expect us to walk on earth, a dirt road. We want asphalt. Is that the right word? How you pronounce it? Asphalt? How do you pronounce that word? As the black stuff.
Yes, right.
Asphalt? We want choyme. We want asphalt. We don't just want to go walk on dirt. Not al Moshe matavika yom v'nasluf nem tit. Shenema dorachto vayom susecha. You trampled vayom susecha. This is our pasuk. This is the pasuk. This is the second half of the pasuk. The second half of the pasuk. Dorachto, you trampled vayom susecha. Choymer mayim rabim. Okay, that's the next pasuk. We didn't do that yet. We're coming up to that soon. Amar lehem Moshe. Moshe said, "This is choimer. Choimer mayim rabim. Choimer." We have to see what the pasuk means in this context. But here the Gemara is making a drasha that it was hard earth, hard ground. Kumu ivru, amru loy navrachi yeasel lefdeu midbar. We want it to be a desert. And what's the mile of a midbar? A midbar? I'm not sure. Not al Moshe as a matavika layom shenema vayoylichem. But what is the nature? What is the mile of a desert? What is the mile of a midbar? I do not know. What mile does the earth have of being a desert quality more so than the other four?
Maybe it means no obstructions or something like that.
Okay, maybe it's straight, flat. A desert usually has, it's just, okay, you can see from the distance. I don't know. Okay, fine, no obstructions. This requires more study. But this medrash to me is totally new. Never heard such a thing like this before. Five different miracles. The Jewish people were very stubborn, according to this medrash. Incredible medrash. They came to the Yam Suf.
Actually, this section is called the 10 Nisim that were done at Yam Suf.
That's what it's called in Avos Rabbeinu Nosson? Okay.
Within this section, I'm looking at it.
In Avos Rabbeinu Nosson. All right, so we have over here an awesome insight into what happened at the time of Kriyas Yam Suf. It's not like, you know, we are much more familiar with the famous Chazal that Kole, who is the first one to jump in? Who is the first one?
Nachshon
ben Aminadav. And no one wanted to jump in. He jumped in. When he jumped in, he was up to his neck. And miraculously, the water split. And there were 12 different lanes, and Klal Yisrael, they traveled, and it was beautiful, and there were birds singing, and there was food, refreshments all along the way, and there were toys for the children, and they went in a semicircle. Some people took the short lane, some people took the longer lane, right? They all came back to the same side. The Egyptians came, v'chulu v'chulu. That's unfortunately where our education ends. And many people, that's the depth of how far we learn, how much we learn about Kriyas Yam Suf. And the more you learn, the more you discover, it was a lot more complex than this. And here we have one insight teaching us that even after the Yam Moshe demanded they should be Moser Nefesh by jumping into the Yam, they refused to do so until the Yam had what's called Nikovim. I have no idea what that means. What do you mean? What is a hole going to do for you?
Well, I guess they wanted a small opening to begin with, they wanted a bigger and bigger opening. And by the way, the Medrash continues.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. 10 of these.
Okay, what does it say? Go further.
At this point, it's only halfway through.
Okay, what does it say? Can you read the remainder of this Medrash?
Let's see. Where did we stop?
The Midbar. The last one was the Midbar. We went through five.
Yeah.
Each one gets bigger and bigger.
So he made a Midbar. Ve'olichim batmos kamidbar. Amar lehem Moshe, kumo ivru, amru lo, lo navod, ad sheyeyosel lefaneinu peirurim, peirurim.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next.
Natan Moshe es hamate b'kol yom, v'naset peirurim, sh'ne'amar, atof horarta ve'ozcha yom. Amar lahem Moshe, kuma ibru, amuru, lo na'avar, ad sheye yosel lefaneinu silo'im, silo'im.
A paved road. Okay, next.
Natala matevi kala yom v'nase silo'im, sh'nemar shibarta roshe taninim al hamoyim. Okay. Roshe taninim ein mishtabrim ela al hasilo'im. Amar lahem Moshe, kuma ibru. Amru lo navod ad sheyosel lono yabosha.
Okay.
Tal Moshe samatevi kor al hayom nasa yabosha shneimar hafach yom la yabosha. Bnei Yisrael ubi yabosha b'sof hayom. Amar lahem Moshe kumo ibru amru lo navod ad sheyosel lefaneinu chomos. Natal Moshe esamatevi kor al hayom nasa chomos. Shneimar v'hamayim lahem chama niminam u'misholam. Mar lahem Moshe kuma ibru mar amru lo navor ad sheyeyosu lefaneinu no dos.
This is fascinating. It's truly fascinating. The lesson you learn over here is the stubbornness. Of Klal Yisrael, not willing until everything is just perfect in life. Everything has to be perfect, perfect, perfect. The unwillingness to proceed until you get exactly what you want. It sounds like Shidduchim to me, this story. Now you understand why Kosher...
Well, Shidduchim are as difficult as Kriyas Yamsev, are they not?
Yeah, exactly. Kosher, now you understand the deeper meaning of Kosher Lezavgan Kriyas Yamsev. You ask a boy, what do you want? This is what I want. You give it to him. No, I want this also. Okay, we give you this also. I want this. After everything is said and done, still refuse. It's exactly, now we have a much more correct understanding. Kosher lezavgon kikriyas yamsuf, even though Hashem gave Klal Yisrael kriyas yamsuf on a silver platter, they always wanted more until everything is perfect. And even when everything is perfect, it's still not good enough. I know all about it. Let's go further. Asa lohem. Next, we go to the next Mamre Chazal. Asa lohem Gosh Baruch Hu Asar Nitzim Al Yam. Okay, here is what you mentioned over here. This is a parallel Mamre Chazal. This Mamre Chazal is the Mechilta. It goes all the way down to the Mechilta. Let's see. Asa lohem Hakadosh Baruch Hu Asar Nitzim Al Yam. Asu Asar Chomos. Ein Choyme El Migdal. Okay, the similar Chazal. And he's going to draw from the psukim that we have over here in our section, Chavakuk. A chayim is a tower, a migdal she'ein ba shomer, shehayu malachei hasharis mishamrim es Yisrael b'shvil shlo yinazku. Angels protected us as we passed through the yam. Amal hamayisha bo v'alvar amul lo heichanu yochum l'alvar bein hachayim esayilu shnem avay mam lochem chayim b'miminu mismaylam. He kikif libay shal yam ba'ala hayam, just like the heart of man floods two-thirds above and one-third milamata, I don't know what this means exactly. Fine, whatever this means, it means. Because the Baruch Hu went and he satisfied them. Asaikman keeping an arch. Here is why we're taking this pasuk. So this explains. This gives us more of an appreciation of what it means to perforate, what it means to pierce. What it seems to be telling us, according to this chazal, is that it was a tunnel. When the Kriyas Yamsuf was like going through the battery tunnel, it wasn't just it split to the left and to the right. There was a shelter above us. Maybe that's what it means. Nikovim. Moshe said to Klal Yisrael, go into the Yam. So Klal Yisrael, we're not going until we see a pathway. Moshe took his staff and he made in the Yam Nikovim. Doesn't mean from above. It means sideways, horizontally. In other words, a tunnel. You take the stick and you put it through earth. You put it through the earth, or in this case, he put it through the water, and he formed a tunnel to travel through the water. A tunnel is a nekev. It's surrounded on all sides. On the bottom was ground, and on top was the water, like an arch. And how do you know that? That's what it quotes over here in this pasuk, Nokafta Vimatov. You have perforated with your staff, Rosh Pirazov. What's the Rosh Perazov? It seems the Rosh Perazov means it's a description of the water that is flowing. I guess they said, we're scared to go into a tunnel. Asai kemin pilotios. I guess this means that he completely aplatia, an open area. Shenema rosh, that's the next part of the pasuk. Rosh pirazov, open. Ein pirazov ela pilotios aplatia. Shenema pirazos teis shev Yerushalayim, an open area. Hotzilchem musukim mitrech meluchim. Hashem brought forth sweet waters from the salty waters, Vayishol Shaysimahem, they would drink Shnema, Vayotzi, Nozlim, Misola, Vayored, Kanaharis Moyim, and water flowed, Aso Kitit, Shenemar, Dorachta, Vayam Susach, that's our Pasuk here back in Chavakuk, Choymer Mayim Rabim, and he made it Tit. What's the significance of Tit? I guess it means it's hard earth. Rabbi Eliezer, when you find that conclude, that's also part of Ovos, and that's also part of the Ovos Rabbi Nassim. So we have the Nusach base, that's a separate Nusach. There are two nuschois. The Avos Rabbi Nosson is the more complex, and we thought it's not just one collection of brisos, which is a competition. The alternative version of Pirkei Avos. In fact, it's two different versions of Pirkei Avos. Two different versions. Two different alternative versions of Pirkei Avos. So, what do we at least extract? What do we at least extract from this long discussion? Is that when we hear different midrashim telling us what was Kriyas Yamsuf about? Did they go in semicircles? Did they go forward? Were there different lanes? Were there arches? Were there food? Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. It appears it was a very long conversation taking place at the Yam. Moshe was demanding that the Klal Yisrael should be moiser nefesh. They should show their desire to take a risk, and they were unwilling to do so. And they always found a complaint. And that complaint always had to be dealt with. And Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his great Rachamim gave in at this time to our complaints, our lack of emunah. But one thing I can tell you for sure, we paid a very steep price. It was credit. For every act, every complaint that we made and we demanded more, 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 we're not going to go until this is going to be perfect and that's going to be perfect. In our long history, we had to pay back Hashem many times over. The amount of emunah that Klal Yisrael has shown HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout our history, I am suggesting, all comes back to each act of lack of emunah that took place here at Kriyas Yamsuf. Let me try to explain, to prove this. Go back to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, Hashem promised him two things. Number one, he promised him, you will have children. Avraham Avinu said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ma titen li, v'anochi holech hariri, uven mesek beis Yehuda mesek Eliezer. What's all of this worth? What gain, what even though I miraculously survived the war and I saved Lot from the five kings, the four kings, the five kings, what benefit is this to me? I have no children. Hashem took Moshe outside. He took him out of his mazel. He told him, count the stars. Koye zaracha. And what did Avraham respond? Vehemin b'Hashem v'yachsheveha loy tzedaka. Emunah. Pure emunah. This was our greatest moment in history. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you want to highlight the moment in the history of Klal Yisrael, our greatest moment, it's when our forefather, Avraham Avinu, listened to Hashem tell him, you will have progeny, you will have seed, and Avraham Avinu responded, yes, I believe you, Vehemin b'Hashem, and if the Torah, which is pure emes, records this expression of emunah, we can be absolutely certain that it was 100%. And that is why we have a guarantee, V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Klal Yisrael will be forever. It's because Avraham Avinu, when he was told there would be a Klal Yisrael, he expressed the full degree of emunah. However, when it came to the next promise, Hashem then said to him, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. Here, Avraham Avinu, unfortunately, did not have the same degree of emunah, and he said to Hashem, "Bamo eida ki iroshana." Ribbono shel Olam, your credit has run out. I gave you one loan with regard to children, the Hemin Bahashem. But you know, the bank can't give away all its money. Go to a bank and you want a loan, you want to take in a mortgage. Okay, we'll give you one mortgage. You want another mortgage? Another mortgage. Listen, Ad Kan, where's the collateral? How do we know? So unfortunately, Avraham Avinu, after he said Vehem Bashem with regard to the children, he did not continue this path, and he now demanded guarantees. Bamo Eida Ki Iroshena. That came with a very, very steep and painful price. What's the price? Hashem says, Kachli Egla Mishuleshes Karbonois. Karbonois. And karbonos, unfortunately, doesn't just mean animal sacrifices. The Bris Ben Abisarim, the Rashi explains that Bisman Shabes Hamigdash Kayam, we bring karbonos. We have to bring even that's an expensive ordeal to bring karbonos. But Bisman Shein Beis Hamigdash Kayam, we have the Mishalma Farim Sifaseinu. But unfortunately, I think some of the commentators understand is that in the long history of our Golus, we make a lot of sacrifices. There have been many sacrifices. Not by choice. We had no choice. All of the horrible events of suffering that we have throughout history are all an extension of Kachli, Egla, Mishuleshes, and V'chulu, V'chulu, all the psukim korbanos. Because there was a lack of pure emunah, Avraham Avinu demanded Bamo Eida. Now, let's go to Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf. We come to Kriyas Yamsuf, they're standing by the Yam, and all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael make an about face, and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, Hamibli, Ein Kivonim B'Mitzrayim, are there not enough graves in Egypt? You have to take us, Lomus, okay, I don't remember the exact words. Are there not enough graves in Egypt? You have to take us out of Egypt, that we have to go die here in the Midbar. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he turns to Hashem, and he's mispalel, da beril b'nei Yisrael viso. And Rashi there says, kedai hu emunah shemantem bi. Even though now they're complaining to me, they're complaining with these horrific words of hamibli ein kevonim b'mitzrayim. But you have to remember that when you, Moshe, came to them and you said, Pokoit Pokadati, the Pasuk says, records, Vehemin Bahashem, Vayamein, Vayamein Ha'om. They believed you. They believed in Hashem. Vayamein Ha'om. Now, they come to the Yam. No, the Emunah expired. Hamibli ein kvadim b'mitzrayim. So look at this. We have a parallel. We have here a direct parallel. Maisei avos simin lebanim. When Avraham Avinu was presented with two statements of Hashem, the first one he had emunah, and the second one not so much. Klal Yisrael, when they were told to leave Egypt to rise up and rebel against Paro, and they're going to leave Egypt. Vayamein ha'am. And here they are. They left. They escaped. And they're in the desert. And now we come to stage two. Stage two is to cross the Yam. It's a whole new ball game. It's a whole new event. And here, just like their forefather Avraham, who in the beginning said Vehemin v'Hashem, but then said Bamo Eida, Klal Yisrael's patience ran out, and here they said, Hamibli in Kvarim Mitzrayim. And everything that we learn here in this Medrash, these two Midrashim from Avos, the Rabbi Nosson, that tells us about the different complaints. This is not enough, and this is not enough. We don't have enough emunah to believe just to walk and to travel through the Yam. It has to be better. It has to be laid out on a silver platter. We have a right to suggest that just like Hashem said to Avram Avinu, you don't believe me? You won't know about Ma'eda? Okay. It's going to come with a price. The price is, Kachli Egla Mishuleshes, there will be korbanos. And the korbanos doesn't just mean animal sacrifices, it means golos. It says there in the pasuk, in Emo, Gedoyla, Hashecha, Nofla, Avram, in the story of the Bris Ben Absarim, all the Midrashim tell us that Avram Avinu, he saw the bitter, bitter golos. The dark, bitter golos. And golos is synonymous with korbanos. And korbanos doesn't mean animals in the Beis HaMikdash. The korbanos means, unfortunately, the Holocaust, the Chmelnytsky massacres, the Crusades, Inquisition, unfair taxation, blood libels, the czars of Russia, all the horrors. You can go on and on. I don't know Jewish history too well, but you can go on and on of all the nightmares that we've experienced in history. This is what he saw. Why? A lack of emunah. Likewise, each step in Avos Rabbeinu Nosson is a very painful step. This is not good enough. Okay, it's not. I'll make it better. It's still not good enough. Okay, Hashem says, I'll make it even better. Every time Hashem says, I'll make it even better, that means there's a price to pay. In later generations, Klal Yisrael is going to have to do teshuvah and reach a level of emunah to undo the challenge that they said to Hashem, it's not good enough. Now is not the time to challenge me. We have an emergency situation. If you want me to fix things for you miraculously, I'll do it. But, you know, there's a price to pay. You are the seeds of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael has a very long mission to achieve in their long history, and each generation is going to have to make up for each one of these mistakes or these acts of resistance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what I'm suggesting over here is taking place in this Medrash. Let's go to the end of the Medrash. The Medrash over here concludes at the end. The last Medrash is Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda Ish Bartusa Oimer. What a nice name, Bartusa. Okay, he came from the heart. I know on the page, on the screen, it's a little bit bent over there. He came from this called Bartusa. What did he say? Bezchus Hashvatim Ani Korea Lochem Esayom Shnemar No Kafta V'Matav Rosh Perozov Mah Oimer L'Goyze Yamsuf L'Gzodim. In the Zuchus of the tribes. According to this Medrash, the word matav doesn't just mean with a staff. Okay, Moshe took out his staff and he split the yam. It means nokafta, you Hashem, you split, you perforated, you made tunnels, or more loosely, we'll just say it means you split, vimatav, in the merit of the shifteka, the tribes of the Jewish people. In their merit, you have, and that's what it says in the pasuk, Nukafta v'mata v'rosh prozov. And how do you know this? There's another parallel pasuk in Tehillim, L'goyza yam suf l'gzam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we split the yam l'gzam into different parts. The fact that according to one Maimon Chazal, that there were 12 different lanes, as Reb Chol said. 12 lanes. The battery tunnel only has two lanes. Well, there are two tunnels. Each one only has two lanes. It was never meant to be two lanes. It was only meant to be one lane. With a shoulder for safety. But unfortunately, the shoulder is gone and now it's two lanes. We have now, this Kriyas Yamsa had 12 lanes. And the reason why there were 12 lanes, according to this Medrash, is to show that Kosh Baruch was making a statement that it's only in the Zuchus of the 12 Shvatim that the Yam will split. Now we have to ask a very basic question. What does it mean? What does it mean, the 12 Shvatim? Why is that a zchus? Why is 12 Shvatim a merit? Klal Yisrael is one. Okay, this is a topic. This is not for now, but this is a suggestion. And the older you get, I think the more you see this more and more. And the key words that I've seen used over and over lately, I don't know why this is appearing a lot lately, is unity does not mean conformity. Or is that the expression? Unity does not mean conformity. I'm not sure I'm saying the right thing. Just because we're unified does not mean every single individual has to do exactly the same thing. Life is all about balance. Hagbalah, balance. To be together, but to be apart. Just because we're all joined together does not mean people are wired differently. And it's not healthy for everyone to do exactly the same thing. Everyone has to have their own unique individuality. Every segment of Klal Yisrael has to have their own unique flavor. The danger is, once man or a community is given the license to be different, more often than not, they drift away. They drift away and become independent. They become their own colony, their own community, and they look down at everyone else. They view themselves to be superior, or they become completely independent where we don't need you, you don't need us, and get lost. That is the danger. It is a very great challenge to be together, but yet to be unique, because the two are contradictory. If you are unique, I'm not with you. But that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants there to be 12 tribes, but He wants there to be one Klal Yisrael. And one Klal, and the ability to keep that balance together is the challenge. And I'm trying to suggest that is the zuchus. When it says here in this Chazal, we had this already a few times, this Chazal, in the zuchus of the Shvatim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for us miracles. What does that mean over here? The zuchus of the Shvatim means that they were able to properly balance unity with uniqueness. Look at today. Today, that's probably the biggest challenge in Klal Yisrael. For all of us, we're all very different. Chabad does not see eye to eye with Satmar. Maybe today they do. Today they're closer than they ever were. But in the past, nothing to do with each other. Okay? Mar Orthodox has nothing to do with the right wing, with the Litvaks. I mean, they're all part of the same. I'm saying, you know what I mean. I'm talking about the extreme elements.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
I think the same idea is in Tefillah that I've been learning recently, that the explanation of Hashem's name, Adon Olam, Adonai, is everyone's, God is everyone's personal friend. We all have a personal relationship with God. But yet, when we go to shul, when we daven, we're davening the same thing everyone else is davening. So on one hand, we're a tzibur, and on the same time, we are a yachid.
Correct.
And I think that's the idea that...
on a bigger scale. But you have to then expand that, go up one notch, and take different groups, different segments of Klal Yisrael, where we come together as being part of Klal Yisrael, as one nation. We have in common, we're part of Klal Yisrael, with mutual respect for your Avodas Hashem. And now, of course, there are limits. You know, there are red lines you can't cross. Everyone follows the classic tradition, the Mesorah, Shulchan Aruch. There are certain red lines you cannot cross, but within those boundaries, this has always been the challenge to Klal Yisrael, to maintain the Achdus ki ish echad b'lev echad, but yet to have the opportunity to be unique. People are wired differently. There are certain people that are part of that live a certain hashkafa. That's how they are. There is nothing you can possibly do to change them. to make them believe in your beliefs. It doesn't go like that. It's naive to think that you're going to go and you're going to make this guy into a Sama Chassid. It's ridiculous. And for a Sama Chassid to think that he's going to make this guy into him, it's not going to go like that. Not everyone's going to be a Chabad Chassid. That's not the way it goes. And there is a requirement that to acknowledge that unity does not mean that we all must conform to one size fits all, and yet we're willing to be meiser nefesh for one another. That's what I want to suggest means in the Sechus of the Shvatim. They passed through the Yam in 12 different lanes. Each Shevet had their own lane, but it was one tunnel. It's one tunnel. If there's a leak in the tunnel, we're all gone. Okay, if the tunnel springs a leak, we're finished. It's one tunnel. In that one tunnel, there are 12 lanes. To be able to have that balance is very, very challenging. Okay, let's go further. We've accomplished, I think, a lot over here. We discussed over here some very important yesodos about our stubbornness and the analysis, the comparison between what took place at Kriyas Yamsuf, the Emuna Vayamein Ha'am, versus these 10 challenges, 10 acts of resistance, tried to parallel that to Avraham Avinu, when he also said, Vehemin Bahashem, verse, Bamoeda, and look at what happened. V'hem b'Hashem v'zoicha tu v'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. But Bamoeda, unfortunately, we have the korbanos. Likewise, here when we're coming into Eretz Yisrael mitzad echad, we have the emuna v'yamein ha'on. We have emuna mitzad sheni. We resisted 10 times, and those 10 acts of resistance, we could assume. Parallels to the struggles that we have experienced in our long history and continue ad hayoyim hazeh. Okay, let us now do something a little esoteric. Okay, let's do something a little bit esoteric. I don't know how good this is going to go. We'll just go through it very quickly, and if it doesn't work, then we'll just skip it. But let's try to do the grah. The grah, I personally find, I hope he's going to forgive me for saying this, for my teeny little brain, it's hiddenness. Sometimes I'm able to, you know, really blossom by studying the Gra, but sometimes the Gra is way, way over, out of my league, and I have very difficult time in appreciating the depth. Okay, here we go. The Gra begins over here. We'll do over here. There's a little piece in the previous page, but I'm going to skip that part. Yisaru lahafitzeni. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has, they have stormed against us. They have stormed against us to destroy us. Now, I skip the beginning of Pasuk Yudalit. He discusses other nations, but let's get to the juicy stuff. Today, we are now living in Golus Eden. Right away, we have something over here, very, very fascinating. Let's just recap. Until now, we learned Pasuk Yudalit. Question, who is the subject? Who are we dealing with in Pasuk Yudalit? Are we discussing Sancheiriv and Chizkiyahu? Well, that's pretty much how most of the Mepharshim learn on the page. And then we've come across the Midrashim that say, no, Pasuk Yudalit is a description of Kriyas Yamsuf, Paro, the very beginning, Kriyas Yamsuf. Now we go to the Gra, he says, none of the above. It's not Chizkiyahu, it's not Kriyas Yamsuf. It has not yet happened. We are describing Yimoyis HaMashiach, we are describing Edom, and in fact we did come across, one of the Mepharshim did actually allude to this, maybe in the Radak, I think the Malbim actually said this, that we are discussing the times of Mashiach. Now what exactly does it mean over here? Yis'aru l'hafitzeni, ze'edoim Begaluso Yafutsu Yisrael Mash Lohayachin Megolas Bavel Shagolias. Expulsions. Okay, how many times the Jewish people have been expelled? Yes? Klal Yisrael has been. You can't hear. Can you hear me? Mark, can you hear me? Mark, you can hear me?
Mark hears you.
Michal, do you hear me?
I hear you, but
it's okay. Mr. Weiss, can you hear me? Mr. Weiss? Mr. Hershkowitz?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm assuming that it's okay. Try, if it doesn't work, try to or reboot. Try. Okay, good, very good. If you're experiencing problem, try to reboot. Try to log out.
I hear you perfectly.
Okay, good. Let's continue. Now here, according to the Gra, over here is saying something that this pshat in the pasuk, he's taking the pasuk lahafitzeni to an extreme. When we learned that most of the commentators, when we came to the word lahafitzeni, as we use Rabbi Chol's terminology, this is the signature of Sanherif, population relocation. Okay, that's what he did for a living. He conquers a nation and he relocates them to a different part of the world. What's the psychology? That until you will settle down and get comfortable with your new environment, it'll take you a generation. And you won't bother me. You won't start up with me and make trouble for me. You'll be busy getting food, settling in. It's like, you know, today, you know, all the yeshivas now are scrambling desperately to find a place to send their kids in the summer. Now that the governor has decided that sleepaway camps are usur, New York State, there will be no license, no legal permission to operate a sleepaway camp. All of the sleepaway camps are going out of their minds because mainly, they're losing money. That's probably the most important thing. And many parents who want to get their kids out of their hair for a few weeks are also going crazy. So what is everyone doing? They're looking to rent property outside of New York State. Where? A lot of places are going to Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, it seems like there are properties that are available. So look at this. I know in Chaim Berlin, they're very upset. They shut down. They said a sleepaway camp. They have a massive piece of property, Camp Mars, where they have a sleepaway camp, and that's it. It's over. So immediately they scouted out a place in Pennsylvania, in the Poconos, in the city Lakewood. In Lakewood, could you imagine the Hashkacha Pratis? It's called Lakewood, Pennsylvania. Now look at this. They go there. They don't know the first thing what to do. They don't know where they're going to get bread, where they're going to get milk, where they're going to get paper towels, where they're going to get staff to come sweep the floors. Where are they going to buy light bulbs? They don't know this territory. They've never been there. They have to scramble. By the time they figure out where to buy all the supplies, the summer will be over. So that's the same exact thing with Sanherif. He takes a nation, he relocates them to a new environment. By the time the people settle down and figure out where to buy milk and paper towels and hire someone to help you clean the floors, you don't want to do it yourself, by the time they figure this all out, that's it. It's already 100 years are gone by. So I will stall. I will be able to dominate these people for 100 years. He won't be alive either, Sanherif. He probably thought he would live forever. Those type of people who think they run the world, they think they have the secret to longevity, they'll live forever. But this was his technique, his signature technique, population relocation. Along comes the Vilna Gaon and says, you think Sanherif? He knew how to do this. The Uma Yisraelim in the 19th century knew how to do this even better. There has not been one country in the entire world, with the exception of the United States of America, even that we have been expelled during the beginning of the war, during World War II, when Roosevelt did not want to take in Jews. They already arrived in the United States, and they were shipped out. There is not one country in the world where Jews have not been expelled. Expulsions. If that is not called a lahafitzeni, then there is no other, then I don't know what is called a lahafitzeni. Jews have been removed, expelled from every country in the world. They have traveled throughout the entire world, not by choice. And that is what the Vilna Gaon learned Shan this pasuk. Yis'adu lahafitzeni, ze Edoim. This refers to Edoim. Bigalusa Yafutsu Yisrael Mashlo Hoyakin Megolus Bavil Shor Hagolias. Unprecedented. Kumoshinemar. Hirashta Eretz Pitsamta. Okay, that's Hirashta means you've caused a quake. The earth, Pitsamta comes from the word Lahafitseni. You've caused the earth to quake and shatter. To shatter, to cause everyone to move, to relocate. The Eile Ashloisha Heim, Shloisha Mitzronim Shel Eretz Yisrael. Now these three expressions, we'll see what he means in one moment, refers to the three boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Moya Mimizrach, Edoim Midoraim, Plishtim Mimarov. Okay, this is very important. Moav is on the east side of Eretz Yisrael. We think that the east side of Eretz Yisrael is Jordan and Syria. No. Keep on going. That's really part of Eretz Yisrael. After Jordan, well, Syria is not really east, is it? It is. It is east, right? Okay, but these, if you keep on going, this is the land of Moab.
Syria is mostly north.
They're mostly north, right? Not the northeast, right? But so what's due east? What's due east? What's due east of Eretz Yisrael is Jordan, and then you come to Iraq. Is that correct? I forgot my geography. Moab.
Iran.
First is Iraq. Iraq. Right, Eretz Moab Mimizrach. That land, it seems, in ancient times was the territory of Moab. Okay, Iraq seems to really be Eretz Moab. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he seems to say. Moab Mimizrach, Edoim Midoraim, the southern. What's in the south of Eretz Yisrael, modern day south of Eretz Yisrael? Saudi Arabia? What's down there?
Egypt.
That, but besides Egypt. Egypt is more, okay, besides Egypt, more to the left, more to the west. Saudi Arabia. Moab.
The other side of the Gulf of Aqaba, Saudi Arabia.
So it's Egypt and Saudi Arabia is in the south. Moyav Mimizrach, Edoim Midoraim, that's Eretz Edoim, Saudi Arabia. No wonder the United States' presence is there. Okay, United States has been protecting Saudi Arabia.
I think he means southeast. Not all the way down south, but
okay.
The land of Edom,
yeah.
Southeast and like lower in Jordan.
Okay. Pelishtim Mimarov, the Pelishtim are on the west. What do you mean on the west? The whole west belongs to Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean? I'm not sure what he means over here, but I mean the Pelishtim, they were illegally.
That's not true either. They're on the coast.
They were supposed to have been driven out.
Pelishtim, where Gaza is, that's on the coast, to the west.
Okay. Umoav hu avoy satoma. Fine. Okay. So we have over here three major nations. It's kedai to dwell upon this, appreciate this principle. Eretz Yisrael is surrounded by three nations. It's surrounded by Moav on the east, Edom on the south, and the Plishtim on the west, according to the Vilna Gaon only. Umoav, now he gets a little bit more esoteric. Umoav, who is in the south, Moav is in the east. Who avoy satoma shenitmu bo Yisrael. This represents the avos hatumah, the intensity of contamination. All of the terrible averus that they've done. Let's go further. We'll see what he means. The Edom, which is, we mentioned the south, who avos hanizikin, hanizikin sheziku liyishol biyoyser. They are our enemies causing us physical harm, physical pain. We have people who have contaminated us spiritually. He's saying over here that Moav, who is on the east, they have done spiritual harm to us.
No, I think it's more
morals.
Moral harm.
Like, right, that's what I mean.
Moav are the lowest in terms of
the moral values.
Edom is destructive.
Destructive, right. Right, exactly. You have the right vocabulary. That Moav have destroyed our morals, whereas Edom have been just more of destructive, physically destructive, damaging to our property, our assets. Uplishtim, what do they do? What's their specialty? Terrorists, nothing. No, they're just terrorists. They just psychological warfare. Heitzeru liyishol b'mo'oy. They cause them tsar. Interesting terminology that the Gro is using. There's something called tsar, there's something called nezek, and there's something called tuma. Look at his vocabulary. It's a very rich vocabulary, very rich, deep understanding of different types of enemies. The loy hinichu lachem shum b'mshol v'shultoin k'moy shenemar, and they did not allow the Jewish people to have any. They did not allow the Jewish people to have their own authority like today. Today, what we think is that we have autonomy in Eretz Yisrael. Every day in the news, well, the annexation depends on if America will agree. Well, since when does one country have to ask another country? Well, wake up. That's the 21st century for you. It's a very dangerous world. And Israel, I mean, it's been like this. No secret. It's been like this from day one. Everything they do in Israel all depends on the goodwill of America. And not only America, the goodwill of many nations, because they're always watching their back. So therefore, the Gro who died long before this made this statement that these nations that surround us, they beat the combination of our enemies that surround us, prevent us of having true authority, true autonomy. A craftsman. A charish means a craftsman. In this context, it means rulership. That's the ultimate profession is politics, is authority. A craftsman. Veheim avos haleitzim, and they are the avos of leitzim of mevatlin. In other words, these three nations together. These three nations is an axis of evil. Bush W, the axis of evil. These three nations, Edom, Moav, and the Plishtim, v'heim kineged shaloisha avos shebekedusha shein klal hakol. They correspond to the three avos of Kedusha, which is klal hakol. What does it mean? I don't know what that means. This is all Kabbalah, I told you. These things are way over my head. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, is that what it means? That Moav, Edom and the Plishtim correspond to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Is that what he means over here? I do not know. Let's go further.
It describes the three types of, the three forms of domination.
Okay.
Physical, a moral, and a, oh, I forgot what's your... What's
Tsar, psychological. Psychological. So are you suggesting Avraham Avinu, he corresponds to, he's the antidote to Moav. Moav is spiritual, moral decay. Avraham was the Isha Chesed. Avraham established ethics, morality. Yitzchak established physical, materialistic dominance. It's true. He dug the Be'eros. He planted there in one of those cities, and it says that they found there 100 times more than they expected. Me'a Sharim.
Yaakov is always the antagonist to Esau.
And Yaakov is the one that was always tortured. Love on psychological damage. Love on kept on. Love on BK Shlaker Esakol. He tortured Yaakov Avinu. He drove him crazy for 20 years. He drove him a sugar with Mitzarim. It makes a lot of sense. that these three, the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Avram corresponds to Moav, who our neighbor on the east. Yitzchak corresponds to Edom, our neighbor in the south. And Yaakov corresponds to the Plishtim, who lived in the coastal cities on the west. That's what it seems to say, right? Now, by the way, when you say the Plishtim, they lived on the west, I don't think it means they lived in the land. I think it means in islands. I think it means they lived in various islands in the Mediterranean. Some of those islands don't exist anymore. They sunk. It's not Mestavra that it means they were living on the coast. Is that what it means? Really? Maybe. I don't know. Could be. The Plishtim, we're talking about our neighbors. They're not our neighbors. It's our land. This is our property. Eretzol is our property. When we say that the Plishtim are living on the west, it has to mean they lived along the Mediterranean, along the land coast further out, not Mamish in Eretz Yisrael. And we're calling those people Plishtim. So you have to go check out who they were. And they correspond to Yaakov Avinu. He goes on over here, describes some psukim which get very esoteric. We're out of time. I don't want to go through all this. He just goes on and elaborates upon this principle. Okay, and that's all we really need to do. Let's just jump down to the next paragraph and see how he follows this through. And then the Omar Khan Ali Tsusam Kamolechal Aniba Mr. Haini Kamosh Nemar Eitzel Shimshain the Ho Oirev Yoshev Lob Becheder Vizel Lechal Aniba Mr. Kamosh Nemar. Okay, this is, okay, I'm not sure what he means by that, and we'll leave that out also. Okay, but at least we've taken out from this an idea, a very fascinating idea, to describe that according to the Gra, we are referring to Edoim Bizman Hazeh, our generation leading up to the coming of Mashiach. And it's so true, like we said, study Jewish history. The Edom, Golos Edom, is responsible to our dispersal like none other. Much more than what Sancheriv did to us. We've been expelled from every country. And then the second Yisoid, our three enemies from the three different sides, the moral enemy, the physical enemy, the psychological enemy, corresponding to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who are the antidote to the damage that these nations are trying to bring upon us. We have to connect to Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov to be spared from these issues. All right, we're going to stop over here for today. Tomorrow we're going to go to the next pasuk. We have concluded this section. Tomorrow, Mir Tashem, we're going to start pasuk Tes Vav. Dorachta Vayam Susech. We don't have all that much to do to finish up. Habakkuk, hopefully we'll finish up very soon. We'll go to Tzefania. And, it's not, hopefully it shouldn't take so long to finish the next three Sfarim, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, after Tzefania. And then we have to decide what we're going to do next. Okay, we'll take a very short break. Okay, I'll see you back in 2 minutes. Okay, Rabbi, let's begin. Okay, I want to discuss two things. First, I want to discuss a little halacha, a little bit more